How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here for the next 2 hours talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, joined as we are every Sunday, Mike Sempervivio, the Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare, only at WrestlingObserver.com. We have so much news to talk about today. One of those days where start making a list of topics to talk about, and the topics just keep flooding in. We're going to talk about last night's Strikeforce World Grand Prix Tournament, one of two major shows over the weekend. Some would say there were many major shows over this weekend. Some would actually say the Dragon Gate Internet pay-per-views are a bigger deal than the TNA pay-per-view that is coming up this afternoon. There is, in fact, Dragon Gate on Internet pay-per-view. There is TNA on traditional pay-per-view. Add up the buys. Dragon Gate may as well beat TNA at this point. We shall find out. We're going to run down the full lineup for the TNA show here on this program. We'll run down the results of last night's Strikeforce show, and then the news. There is plenty of it. Jeff Hardy has been sentenced. In fact, Jeff Hardy, his drug charges, they came up 2 years ago, and as everybody is well aware, he's been to court 500,000 times. The case has been continued 500,000 times, to the point where when it came out that he had in fact been sentenced, I was caught completely off guard. I completely was caught off guard, thinking that it was going to be continued another half dozen times. But Jeff Hardy's at his day in court. He has been sentenced. We're going to tell you about that. Plus, the big story in mixed martial arts this week, Nick Diaz versus George St. Pierre is off. Nick Diaz no-showed two press conferences. He missed three fights. Dana White pulled him from the show, replaced Nick Diaz with Carlos Condit. And then, the next day, Nick Diaz was back, and he'll be facing BJ Penn. It was something that we can discuss probably for hours. I'm going to talk about it here on this show. Plus, the movie Warrior. We'll talk about the impact rating from this past Thursday night. Not the best rating in the world, and it was a very important rating, given it was the second straight week of TNA on the road. They were in Huntsville, and of course, the on-the-road shows, very important for TNA. Spike putting a lot of money into it. The ratings, 2 weeks in a row, not good. We'll tell you why. We'll tell you about the competition. Same with Raw on Monday night. Not a great number, not a horrible number, but a very important number. All that, plus so much more. We'll get into it when we come back from the break. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Here to talk pro wrestling and mixed martial arts for the next 2 hours. We got so much stuff to talk about today. Not going to waste any time. We'll get into Strikeforce in hour two, but first hour here, we got so much news, not the least of which is a Kurt Angle DWI. Started going over all the stuff in the first segment, but we ran out of time. Mike, how you doing today?
Not too bad. Yeah, it's kind of been a crazy week and a crazy last couple of days, and it's not something that's going to stop anytime soon.
We got to talk about Nick Diaz here first. This, to me, is one of the big stories of the week. Nick Diaz and George St. Pierre were scheduled to fight for George St. Pierre's 170-pound title. And Nick Diaz is a strange sort of fella. And long story short, there was a press conference scheduled for last week, and Nick didn't show up. So Dana talked to Cesar Gracie, who is Nick's manager, and Cesar, you know, said, we'll get him there for the next day. Don't worry, we'll do what we can. And granted, Cesar Gracie did everything he could. But Nick missed one flight, missed a second flight, missed a third flight, snuck out of Cesar Gracie's house. And after no-showing two press conferences and three flights, Dana White announced that Nick Diaz was off the card and George St. Pierre would be facing Carlos Condit. Now, before we go any further, what are your thoughts on this story, Mike?
To be honest, I thought UFC was a little bit reactionary in making the decision that they did. Now, on the flip side, I think most hardcore fans and most regular fans of UFC who follow that division know that GSP and Condit is one of the only intriguing fights you can make left for GSP in that division. It is not a money fight like Nick Diaz, but it's a really good fight and an interesting fight. It's not Nick Diaz, and I thought they were a little reactionary in making the decision that they did.
Nick Diaz has done a lot of things. He's made some mistakes here and there, and he has screwed up fights for Strikeforce in the past, including one where he just did not show up to take his drug test. And this is not like it's the first-time deal. You know, this is an ongoing problem with Nick Diaz not playing ball. And Nick Diaz complained about his pay. He complained about driving around in a Honda. Dana White sat him down and had a long talk with him and explained that we're going to give you this deal. We'll give you this very lucrative UFC deal. You'll get a percentage of the pay-per-view cut here. You know, you'll make this such and such for a base pay. All you've got to do is play ball. And Diaz was in line to make about $2 million for this fight. And he couldn't play ball. And listen, when this first went down, I thought, you know, and Todd Martin on our own show last week said the same thing. He said, you know, it is a press conference. You know, Diaz, it's not like he no-showed a fight. You know, he just didn't show up for a press conference. He doesn't do press anyway, and when he does do press, he sucks at it. So what's the big deal? My argument was you can't set a standard here. You know, this isn't the first time. Yes, he hasn't no-showed a fight yet, but what happens if Nick Diaz doesn't show up for his drug test for this fight? You know, it just, to me, it was, this was like, I was very proud of UFC for the decision they made here. They took a stand. You know, they took a fight, you know, and they changed it. They were going to lose a lot of money. You know, granted, you know, the Condit fight, I don't know. GSP and Condit, I'd say it's going to do 550,000 buys. GSP and Diaz, I think, would have done between 750 and 8. So in order to take a stand, in order to say, we aren't going to stand for this sort of thing, you agree to play ball and you don't play ball, you're out of here. You know, I was proud of them for that decision. And then, the very next day, they announced that he's back, and he's going to be facing BJ Penn. And at that point, I just don't know what to think anymore.
You forgot this was sports. And on top of it, you forgot this was the canvas mat game. There are double standards that take place. And I'm not saying it's right, and I'm not saying that. Look, Nick Diaz, I don't know what it says about me that I've talked to Nick Diaz twice and actually got, you know, two pretty good interviews out of him, the one with the PPH being one where nobody could actually believe it, so I don't know what that says about me, but you know what you're getting with Nick Diaz, and you do give him a little bit of a double standard. I mean, you know, Lawrence Taylor in football, I mean, there's been lots of boxing, you know, boxers from over the, you just sometimes, you just have to deal with what it is, and I know, yes, in a perfect world, he would not have missed all those press conferences and those flights, and you can understand why GSP's pissed off about it, but you know what? I think they were reactionary in taking him out of the fight, because let's be honest, there's a chance he could have no-showed the fight, but I mean, there was more of a chance that Carl Parisian would have no-showed one of his fights than a Nick Diaz would. Missing the press conferences was bad, but still, I mean, that's something you could build on and actually incorporate into the building of this pay-per-view like you needed any more of it, you know. But they knew they made the mistake by taking him off of it, by putting him in there against BJ Penn. Now, what they can say, obviously, is, well, no, we're taking him out of that title fight, and it was a big deal. And that's fine. But, you know, they obviously still want him on the card and facing BJ Penn, which I don't know what weight that's going to be at. If it's going to be, I would assume, at 170 pounds, I mean, you know, realistically, at the end of the day, no matter what happens in all of this, we could still end up, and very likely could end up, with GSP and Diaz again, which will make next year off to an even better start of what they already have planned,
including that was
going
just
to Japan.
The thing that was so infuriating about it to me was not so much that I just, as soon as they announced it was Penn and Diaz, I just thought, so why did you bother? You know what I mean? I mean, that's the thing that I think infuriated me the most. You know, if Nick Diaz would have no-showed the two press conferences, and he would have no-showed all of his flights, and Dana just went up there and he said, this is the kind of guy he is. And he didn't fine him, and he didn't suspend him, and he didn't take him out of the fight. It would have been like, you know, you probably should have done something about this, but, you know, it's Nick Diaz, he's a crazy man. I would have been fine with all of the different arguments about why you should just let him be Nick Diaz. But when you go as far as to take him out of the match, you know, you say, you know what, you no-showed your press conference here, you're not playing ball, you're out. Then it's like, okay, so you're taking a stand, you know, and I greatly respect that. You're sacrificing money to take a stand. But then when you take him out of the fight and you turn it into a less lucrative fight, and then you put the guy back on the show against somebody else, then it's like, why did you bother? Because it ain't much of a punishment. He's still going to probably get a pay-per-view cut working the semi-main. He's still going to get his downside guarantee. You know, and your main event now is going to draw significantly less. So what was the point of any of this? You didn't take a stand. You know, you're making a lot less money on the pay-per-view. What did you accomplish here? It's preposterous to me.
Well, it's making the stand that they're pissed off. I don't know.
Again, Dana could have just ranted and raved and made that stand and made a lot of money out of it.
Well, and that's the thing, and he probably would have said something inappropriate there because he would have popped off at the mouth, and I think they popped off at a decision. I know what you're saying, and I understand your point of view on it, and it does make it even worse, you know, on top of it by saying, okay, well, you're out of the title fight. You're going to be facing BJ Penn, and what is a, you know, again, it's not like that's a fight people don't want to see either. I mean, and again, it does hurt the card in that you don't have that big super, you know, title fight on there. But at the same time, I mean, him facing Penn and GSP and Condit, it's not a bad deal. But yeah, I mean, it's just, I think they just made a decision way too fast because they were angry but again, what were they going to do? Fire him? I mean, that was a sign right there. I mean, if they were that serious about taking him out of the fight, they probably should have just fired him.
That's what I thought.
Or announce a suspension, but they didn't do that, and they ended up going, okay, and then the next day they put him in the fight with Penn.
You gotta take a stand if you're going to take a stand. I mean, everybody argued one of two things. One, you should have done nothing, or you should have left him in the fight and maybe given him a fine or something like that. That's option one. Or option two is you take him off the show and you fire him. Those are like your two options, and they managed to do a third option, which, like, it boggles my mind. I mean, you kind of took a stand, but then you really didn't. You know, you're still rewarding the guy with his pay-per-view cut and his downside and everything like that, and you have a pay-per-view that significantly fewer people are going to buy because GSP and Carlos Condit means nothing compared to GSP versus Diaz. I totally don't understand this. You know, it was like a pro wrestling angle. You know, this was totally like a pro, and everyone said that too. You know, he took a page out of the Vince McMahon playbook. You know, and he said it himself. He said, "I'm going to make a decision that everyone's going to call me crazy." Well, he was right. I think he's crazy. I don't get it. I don't understand. And I guess we can talk about this a little bit more after the break. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live. We're here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here for the next 2 hours talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. Every Sunday afternoon, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern, Sirius Satellite Radio Channel 94, Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Mike, anything to add to the Diaz story before we move on to the other huge stories in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts this week?
Well, again, you know what, this will all be, if GSP wins and Diaz wins, this will all be fine because it'll be something to add to the fire, so you turn a negative into the positive at the beginning of the year. You already got Overeem and Lesnar now going into January. You have the announcement.
Actually,
of the show
hold on. Let me just stop you for just a second because I know you'll keep going for a while, and I want to make sure I hit this point that you just made. What if Diaz wins?
Then you have a crazy man as champion.
It's Diaz beat BJ Penn.
If Diaz beats Penn, then he gets a fight with St. Pierre.
That already failed.
No. It's still it's still fight promotion. Look, Brian, I'm not saying if this was John Fitch, we wouldn't be having this conversation. If it was Josh Koscheck, even, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
No, because they wouldn't have no-showed the press conferences. Well,
that's true. But there's one guy that will, and you know who will do things like that, and it's Nick Diaz.
Okay, so...
And again,
so...
you turn the negative into a positive, because if he does beat Penn, GSP beats Condit, you do this thing at the beginning of next year, March or April or whenever you do
it. Hold on. How can you say that, though?
Why?
They got so mad at him for no-showing press conferences, they took him out of the fight. So now you just presume that he's not going to no-show press conferences anymore? What if the exact same thing happens again for the next GSP fight, and he misses 3 flights and 2 press conferences? Then what do you do? Book him against Condit?
Because you already learned from the mistake this time by signing up Nick Diaz to these press conferences, and you go, you know what? As long as he shows up during the fight, that's all that matters. And you know what? I don't think he's not going to show up for the fight. I'd be real surprised about that. And then we'd be talking about other issues with Nick Diaz that are far more than him being wacky or depressed or eccentric or something like that, and it would be something a little bit worse.
What if he skips out on his drug test again? Wouldn't be the first time.
But you're right. But you know what? You cannot live, I mean, look, you cannot live completely in fear. And again, you make other fights just in the same way they made this fight with Condit. I mean, that's one of those things that has to happen. It happens with injury all the time. Brian, you can't, somebody flying off the reservation is not something that you, you know, you plan for that much. I mean, again, I know Nick Diaz can do, you know, foolish things, and I get that and everything, but he's still a commodity, and this is still fighting, okay? I'm sorry, and maybe I have too much of a double standard for coming up with boxing and pro wrestling and all this other stuff, but I'm sorry. It's just Nick Diaz is one of those guys that gets the double standard.
This is not the first time for Nick Diaz.
Absolutely not. No, it's not.
All right. Well,
he's still pissed he can't box.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Yeah. I don't know. This whole story, it's just like, you know, it's inevitable that he's going to screw up another fight. You just know that. Like, it's inevitable.
Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Probably at some point in his career, yes. You just hope it's not on the big stage or something like that.
I mean, what are the chances? I mean, I don't want to, you know, let's just put it this way. You would be foolish if you said, and maybe, you know, maybe Kurt Angle will never get a DWI. But you would be foolish to say, I don't think he's ever going to get one again. Because this is a pattern. This was not his first one last week, which we'll talk about in a while. Same with Jeff Hardy. It's like TNA brought Jeff Hardy back. And maybe he's just going to be clean as a sheet for the rest of his life. But it would not be unfair for one to speculate that something's going to happen again. And the same thing with Nick Diaz. It's like they're begging for trouble at this point.
I don't know. I think you're over-dramatizing it a little bit. I mean, in the grand scheme of what fighters do and what they have done over the years, and I mean, and again, I'm not saying that Nick Diaz isn't going to screw up again, but I think you're holding him when you're throwing him also, and you're using comparisons to Jeff Hardy and Kurt Angle. I think they're just, it's kind of an unfair scale you're kind of putting him on.
Well, I guess we'll see. I don't know. I just think, the whole thing just boggled my mind. When I got the text message saying, Diaz versus Penn, I couldn't even believe my eyes. I really, honest to God, couldn't believe my eyes.
I'm kind of surprised that you would be that shocked over it.
I don't know. I guess I just have faith. I have too much faith. That's my problem all the time.
Well, and this is another reminder, too, of, you know, I remember hearing back, you know, 10 years ago how MMA will never make the same mistakes boxing does, and, you know, they're sort of the same sport, but they're not. And it's like, you know what? A lot of the things that happen with fighters, you know, dealing with fighters and dealing with managers and dealing with hangers-on and promotion and things like that, they're parallel. And these same things are going to happen. Here's actually just another example of it.
Let's talk about Jeff Hardy here very quickly, since we've been mentioning it. Jeff Hardy had his day in court, and he has been sentenced 10 days in jail that he can serve essentially at his convenience. $100,000 fine. He's got probation, and he's allowed to travel. So this, of course, came down the day that he was scheduled to return to Impact that night, something they taped a couple of weeks in advance, which, again, I mean, you know, I said it at the time. I joked about it. I joked about it because, honest to God, I thought this was going to be continued again. But at the time, I joked, okay, they brought him back. They put him on television. It's airing the day he goes to court. It's guaranteed he's going to jail. You know, I joked about that. But that's actually what happened. You know, I could not believe, and I realized, here's the deal. TNA is they're spending money, and Spike is spending money for them to go on the road and tape on the road a couple of times, actually probably about once a month until the end of the year. They've made that decision. And, you know, in order to justify these costs, these added costs, it's got to do a better number. And so they thought, okay, well, we need a good number here. Let's bring back Jeff Hardy. And what happened was they ended up getting a 1 last week, which is significantly below, shouldn't say significantly, but they've usually been doing about a 1-1-1-2. So this is down a fair amount. And then this week, going up against a game that, I forget the number I gave, it was something like 26 million viewers, some preposterous number of viewers, maybe 19 million or something. I got it here somewhere. But the point is, you know, huge game. They did another 1. And, you know, they brought back Jeff Hardy for a 1. You know, would the show have done any better or worse without Jeff Hardy? Probably not. But they brought him back, and there he was on television, a convicted felon who was scheduled to serve jail time and was fined $100,000 and is now on probation and mandatory rehab, by the way. So just another day in the life of TNA, I guess.
And here's a double standard you can be upset about all over the place with this, including the sentence that he got. I mean, I know the average person on the street would not be able to pay a $100,000 fine in all likelihood, I wouldn't think. But with what he was caught with, I mean, you know, the 10 days or 14 days, whatever it is, time he'll have to do, which will be set up at a time of his convenience by his lawyer. And, you know, he is a wrestler, so he does get to travel. And, you know, one of the parts during sentencing, you know, his lawyer said fans want violence, and, you know, it leads to some of these problems, like Jeff Hardy going out there and having a fan send him bunches of OxyContin in a coffee can sent up from Florida. And I'm amazed he was ever hired back in the first place. I'm amazed that he was not fired in January after his match against Naito. I'm surprised he was not fired outright before the match with Sting or any of the reported stuff, you know, of his condition, you know, leading up to that point. It's just, you know, here's double standards that you can be upset about. And the fact that, you know, nothing really moves that rating. If this didn't do it, there was probably going to be nothing that could. And they get a 1, and granted, the Green Bay New Orleans game was an epic game back and forth from the minute it started. So there was no chance of any lull for people to even go back over the fans they lost to that game. But it's, you know, I don't know. Jeff Hardy being there in the first place is a sad situation in a lot of ways. And this whole, again, the whole thing from, frankly, the sentencing, which just kills me for what he had. It's like, really, just a couple of days, you know? And he probably needs a mandatory rehab worse than anything. But I'm just amazed by, I've always been amazed by this whole thing. I don't get it, and I don't get it from TNA's point of view, but again, they should be very thankful they fly under the radar, because there's no way, you know, they'd be able to get away with what they get away with just because people just don't see them and don't care about them.
This was a week that just I was just floored all week, because we did a breaking news update on this, myself and Dave Meltzer, on the website, WrestlingObserver.com. And Dave just kind of nonchalantly asked, would you fire him? Or should he be fired? And I was just like, I was completely caught off guard by the question, because the question of should he be fired after this, like, it never even entered my mind. Because you know, he had these drug charges hanging over his head when he was hired by TNA. You know what I mean? And after the Jeff Hardy situation, where he showed up in no condition to perform for a match with Sting, and they had to immediately do a 1-minute finish, it was like, I would have fired him there, but they didn't. So, you know, they hire him when he has these charges hanging over his head, and then they don't fire him when he shows up all screwed up for a pay-per-view. So when somebody asks, well, should they fire him now? It's just like, thought never entered my mind. Of course they're not going to fire him now. You know what I mean? Of course they're not. I mean, it's like, why would anybody even ask that question? You know, of course they're not going to fire him. And they have not. And I can pretty much guarantee you that they're not going to. So we'll talk more about this after the break, plus the Kurt Angle situation. Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We're here for the next hour and a half talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. For the latest news and information in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, you can always head to WrestlingObserver.com. Daily news updates, tons of newsletters. We'll have ongoing play-by-play of tonight's TNA pay-per-view if you don't happen to get that show. Wrestling Observer newsletter, which Dave has been publishing since 1983, I believe. Figure Four Weekly, I've been publishing since 1995. We have a million back issues up there. And radio shows. If you love this show, if you love Wrestling Observer Live, and you only get to listen to this show once per week, you are missing out. We do daily radio shows. In fact, Thursday, I did four radio shows in one day. Four! One of them, we even interviewed Mick Foley. These shows are, I've said this a million times, if you love Wrestling Observer Live, I guarantee you will love a subscription to the website. It's $10.99 a month. That's it. It's a one-time fee per month. You can sign up for recurring, and we'll bill you every month, but you don't have to. You can just pay $10.99 once. Go in, download a bunch of shows, listen to them on your iPod, listen to them on your commute, listen to them in the gym. And if you don't like it, don't sign up again. It's very easy. And if you do like it, you can sign up for a longer-term subscription or sign up for recurring or just pay month by month while, while you're still enjoying it. And if you want a taste, aside from what you're listening to right now, just head up to WrestlingObserver.com. Scroll down the right-hand side of the page, a listing of our latest three free radio shows. Just download them, listen to them. And if you like what you hear, $10.99, you get 15 to 20 of those every single week. And not only do you get all those new shows, but our entire archive, over 3,000 radio shows in our archive. I don't even know how many hours that is. I mean, tens of thousands of hours, maybe. Actually, probably not that much. We're closing in on about 10,000 hours, I'd say, within the next couple of years of audio available on the website. But go up there, check it out. WrestlingObserver.com. As I noted, if you like this show, I guarantee that you will love your subscription. And if you don't, email me and we'll make it right. But I'm pretty sure you'll enjoy it. Now, we were talking about just mind-boggling things in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. It has been a week of that. And another one, Kurt Angle, the TNA World Heavyweight Champion, pulled over and given a DWI. He's claiming he's innocent. It's kind of a complicated story. They gave him a breathalyzer test at the scene. He blew above the legal limit. They took him into the police station. He blew again. He blew under the limit the second time. His lawyer released the second one, but not the first one. The news of the first one came out per the police. Then, of course, we had officers saying, well, you know, quite frankly, the reality is that first one is probably going to be inadmissible. Only the second one is going to be admissible in court. And the second one, of course, he did blow below the legal limit. However, in a lot of different states, even if you blow below the legal limit, if they can prove that you were also taking prescription medicine, you can still be given the DWI. So there are people that believe that Angle is going to get off, including Angle and his lawyer. There are others that that believe that he's not going to get off. It all depends on whether there was anything else in his system, whether the cops took a blood test, which I actually have not heard of them taking. So there's a good chance Angle is going to get off. But the key to this whole story is this is a pattern. This is a, you know, this is not the first time that Angle has been pulled over and the officers believe that he was not in a right state of mind. The key also to the story is that blowing under the legal limit or not, he was given a field sobriety test and he failed. He failed reciting the alphabet. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, E, couldn't do that. And also counting backwards, I believe, from 63, he managed to be all over the page. So, not a good sign, and TNA was not happy with the story getting out. But as of the time that we're doing this show, TNA is, Kurt Angle is still the World Heavyweight Champion, and my guess would be that when tonight is over, Kurt Angle is still going to be the TNA World Heavyweight Champion. Mike, thoughts on this story?
I think with accusations like this, I don't know how he's supposed to concentrate on getting back to the Olympics.
That's right.
Again, you know, Jeff Hardy, Kurt Angle, Scott Hall, and Kurt Angle gets TMZ time. But, again, I guess, you know, it all depends on whether he gets off or not, and I guess he's still accused right now, and I guess that's all you can say, and he feels as though he's going to beat it, and so does his lawyer. So, yes, if you look at this from an outside point of view, somebody ice cold, when you're presented with, here is some of the things that have happened with Kurt Angle, and you go, would you hire this guy? When you weigh out the pros and cons, you would probably, most people, I would assume, from the outside would say no. And again, is Kurt Angle going to be fired? No. Is he going to drop the title tonight? Probably not. And again, it's just, yeah, I like Kurt Angle, but it's too bad. And again, like you said, there's a pattern there, and you just shake your head, and you know, people like Jeff Hardy and Matt Hardy and Kurt Angle and doing things and being caught for things that just, it's, you know, sooner or later, you know, something bad's going to happen.
You know, something we didn't mention about Jeff Hardy, one of the reasons that, as noted in the last segment, Dave asked, should he be fired? Will he be fired? Would you fire him? One of the keys to the story is that when this whole thing went down with Jeff Hardy, you know, Jeff Hardy said, oh, I'm going to get off. There's nothing to this. You know, it's all, I believe the term that he used was he was framed. And he said, I'm going to get off. You know, this is nothing. It's all bogus. I didn't do it, et cetera, et cetera. And, turns out that's not what was ruled. So that's kind of an important detail right there that he essentially, I don't know if I want to say he lied to the company, but he certainly suggested that in his belief there was nothing to worry about here. And as it turns out, there was certainly something to worry about.
Well, you know, depending on, you know, what you believe at the time, you know, oops, maybe just kind of left some stuff out.
Oops.
Well, this is Kurt Angle.
I guess so. The Jeff Hardy story, we should probably talk a little bit more about this because there is more. FayetteObserver.com, which is the Fayetteville Observer, had a story on this and actually had a lot of details that had not come out until a couple of days ago. What apparently happened was there was a fan, Thomas Ray Cruz, who actually I have not checked yet, but I should see if maybe he's a subscriber. Anyway, he met Jeff Hardy outside an event in Florida, a show, and offered to send him some gizmos. And what's so funny?
The thought of, like, yeah, I wonder if now I'm wondering, does he listen to the Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare if he is a a subscriber? And in what condition does he do so?
He could be listening to this show right now.
Because we do not condone listening under the influence.
So this fella, and I guess we should say allegedly, because he still has more dates in court, but this is what has been reported. This fella met with Jeff after a show and offered to supply him with gizmos. And on September 10th, he went and via FedEx sent Jeff 262 hydrocodone painkillers, which I believe is Vicodin. I'm not positive. But he put them in a Maxwell House coffee can. I don't know why, but details like that in these crime stories always, for some reason, make me laugh. You know, Maxwell House. Who drinks that in 2011? Am I wrong about this?
No, so, but then you think about it, too, it's just like, you know, it's true. Is it, now, the pain pills, is that like caffeine?
I don't know. But anyway, he put it in a Maxwell House coffee can, and he mailed it. And the postal officials thought, this is a suspicious-looking package. It's shaped like a Folgers can. Who drinks that anymore? Or Maxwell House. So anyway, they open it up, and there's 262 hydrocodone. So they package it back up, and they deliver it to Jeff. And Jeff signs for the package. They swoop in. They enter his dwelling, as it's called legally. And they find a number of, they find a stash, quite frankly. And that's how this whole thing came down. And the individual in question, this Thomas Ray Cruz, he's still got to go to court in November regarding this charge. And that's the story. So I presume that Jeff was, I don't know, based on what he told TNA, I guess what he must have told them was that, you know, he didn't know this fan was going to send him this stuff. So, anyway, that's the story, and some interesting details there.
Oops, did he leave those out, telling that to TNA?
They may have.
Funny how we can all remember things differently. It's just, stories like that, it's like, how did that conversation strike up?
Well,
you know, just like you happen to be hanging out for autographs after the show, obviously this has got to be an older guy or something like that, and just, you know, hey, Jeff, how you doing? You know, can I have your autograph? And are you looking for any pills I can send you?
Well, I'm disappointed to report that Thomas Ray Cruz was not, in fact, a subscriber to our website. So, I'm sorry, everybody.
But
God
Thomas,
knows he could have been a freeloader.
If you end up beating this case and everything, or when you get out, $10.99 a month.
That's right. He could
Where
be a free.
Where you're going to go, you're going to have lots of time, possibly, so you may want to small load up on the audio as much as you can.
That's right. He could be a freeloader.
He would be the type.
Maybe he'd like After Dark, because I've heard that folks in prison always enjoyed Art Bell's shows. So anyway, that's the Jeff Hardy situation, everybody. The situation with Kurt Angle. And as noted, Kurt Angle is wrestling in the main event of the TNA pay-per-view tonight. We should probably talk about that here in a couple of moments. But let's talk about it right now. TNA pay-per-view tonight. Dave Meltzer doing live running play-by-play on the front page of the WrestlingObserver.com site. I actually have absolutely no idea what the name of this pay-per-view is.
No Surrender.
Oh, that's right. No Surrender. I was trying to Google the lineup, and I couldn't remember the name of the pay-per-view, which kind of made that difficult. TNA No Surrender from Orlando at the Impact Zone. I do enjoy the fact that if you go to Wikipedia, under No Surrender 2011, in the No Surrender wiki here, main event is listed as TBD, to be determined. So, let's see if they have anything on the actual page. They do have a lineup here on the page. Main event is for the championship, Kurt Angle, Sting, and Mr. Anderson, a three-way for the title. Do you expect Kurt Angle, despite his DWI arrest this past week, to leave as champion?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, I guess there's a shot that Anderson could. That would be my next guess if they decided to do that. But no, I would figure Angle actually comes out of it with the belt.
Let's look at the rest of this lineup while we're at it. We've got Kid Cash versus Jesse Sorensen on pay-per-view. And for some inexplicable reason, the winner of this match is the number one contender for the X Division title.
Sure. Why not? And you know what? I hope Kid Cash wins.
Well, I expect Austin Aries to win the title, so I would think that Jesse Sorensen is going to win. That's my thought.
Well, it is TNA, so you never know what could happen.
Brian Kendrick and Austin Aries for the title.
Austin Aries should win. But then again, they've kept out Kendrick for this long, but no, I there would be no way that... What else are you going to do then if Aries doesn't win it?
Give up hope?
What do you still have?
I was going to say,
you do have a lot of hope.
There's no hope to begin with. Did you watch their segment on Thursday?
No, I did not.
Oh my God, this segment was ungodly awful. I really like Austin Aries. I think he's a great personality, he's a great promo, and he's a great wrestler. But this segment was god-awful. I mean, it was a segment where Austin Aries is the heel, and Brian Kendrick is the babyface. And when the segment was over, Brian Kendrick's, I don't know who came up with the idea for his new character. I just know that when this segment was over, it wasn't like I was wanting Austin Aries to destroy Brian Kendrick, but like I personally wanted to destroy Brian Kendrick. And Brian Kendrick is supposed to be the babyface. We're going to talk about this more after the break. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, talking about the TNA pay-per-view. Run down the lineup for the show here in a bunch of short segments, which actually reminds me of TNA. A lot of short, quick segments, and then to the back! Brian Kendrick and Austin Aries. I just abhorred that segment. You didn't watch it, so you certainly lucked out. But it was no good. We've also got Mickey James.
Brian Kendrick, I'm sorry. I wanted to beat him up from the minute I've seen him in TNA. So,
is it the pants?
It's a little bit of it's the meditation with the head waving. It's
the music.
He's just a heel in the character, and just should be getting beaten up by bigger good guys, and you know, not being the X Division champion. I'm sorry, Brian Kendrick.
We've also got Mickey James versus Winter for the knockout title. And by the way, I should mention this, and God only knows, well, God only knows, but I have been sent a lineup for an upcoming TNA house show event, and it specifically lists both Winter and Austin Aries as champion on the show. So most likely, unless they change plans, and actually, what's funny is, as horrible as TNA is, they actually have longer-term planning than WWE does. WWE changes plans like on a daily basis, on a whim, you know. And TNA, their horrendous storylines are actually stuck to. So I would not be surprised in the slightest if Winter and Austin Aries are champion coming out of the show today, because that's what they've been planning. So that's the way they're going to go.
Armed with that knowledge, I'll take Winter.
I actually thought it was going to be Mickie James versus Velvet for the title at Bound for Glory. I've actually put thought into who's going to be the champion in the next couple of months. But, you know, I guess Winter and Velvet would be, well, it would be horrible. What else do we have here? Samoa Joe and Matt Morgan. Matt Morgan is back against Samoa Joe, minus 10 in the Bound for Glory tournament. Any hope for Joe to win this match?
I'd like to think so, and I like to think with TNA's logic, because of that negative 10 he has in the tournament, he'll actually win.
I expect him to lose again, but that's just me. We'll be back after the hourly break. Talk more about this awesome show, Wrestling Observer Live, here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here for the next hour talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, joined as we are every week by Mike Sempervivi of the Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare here at WrestlingObserver.com. We talked about a lot of news in the first hour. We got a lot of news here in the second hour as well. Plus, we're going to talk about the Strikeforce World Grand Prix Tournament here in just a moment. We've been running down the lineup for the TNA No Surrender pay-per-view tonight, and just a sad show. We've gone over a couple of the matches here. You know, I never really thought there would be a time where TNA was drawing 7,000 pay-per-view buys. I mean, Dragon Gate USA is doing shows this weekend, and they're not going to do 7,000 buys. But look at the amount of money they make as the people streaming their show. Guaranteed they're making more money than TNA off their pay-per-views. Particularly when you think that at 7,000 buys, TNA is losing money on virtually every single show. And Ring of Honor, they're not at 7,000 buys yet, but wouldn't be surprised within the next 2 years they hit 7,000, and they've got no national TV at this point. They will soon on Sinclair, but Sinclair isn't in nearly the number of homes as Spike TV. It's just a sad story, and I don't know. Anything to add to that, Mike?
No, not a whole lot. I mean, it's they get the same people watching every week, those same people. No matter what they say, no matter how much they talk about, you know, us and the people that review and watch their shows and everything. I mean, you know, those people that watch, yeah, they you may talk about, you know, well, we got a 1-2 or a 1-3 this week instead of a 1-0, but it doesn't matter when those people, even though they watch over and over and over again, they've watched consistently, they still will not spend any money on you whatsoever.
We're running down the lineup. Let's do a couple more predictions here. Mexican America versus D-Von and D'Angelo De Niro for the tag team titles. Do you figure that D-Von and D'Angelo are just going to break up immediately after they started teaming together on Thursday?
Absolutely.
Got no faith here, Mike.
Nope, not at all. Mexican America wins.
All right. That is actually the main lineup for the show, with the exception of the two Bound for Glory series semifinal matches, Bully Ray, James Storm, Bobby Roode, and Gunner. And I'm going to give you a commercial break to think about this, Mike. And when we come back, I want your prediction who wins this whole tournament. Back in just a moment, Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here to talk pro wrestling and mixed martial arts for the next hour. And we are here talking about the TNA... What the hell was it called again, Mike?
No Surrender.
No Surrender pay-per-view tonight. The results of which are going to be on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com moments after the show goes off the air. Not looking to be a highly purchased show. Based on the card, I don't know if it's going to be a particularly good show, but it's a show nonetheless. If you've just got you need your wrestling fix this evening, and for some reason, you just can't get that Dragon Gate USA pay-per-view, this is the next best thing. No Surrender. And the two Bound for Glory series semifinals, this tournament, Mike, this tournament has sucked. And you know that, having followed the G1 tournament and a lot of other great tournaments in the history of pro wrestling and mixed martial arts as well. This one is the worst ever. You know, somebody emailed me the other day and they said, Brian, you've got to clear this up for me. Have they really done a tournament where not everybody has had the same number of matches? And I said, in fact, my friend, yes. In this tournament, Gunnar has had almost three times as many matches as Scott Steiner. Scott Steiner had 9, and I believe Gunnar had something like 27. How does that work? So yes, it has now come down to the final four, and the final four are not, in fact, going to be doing a traditional tournament format style series here. It is not Bully Ray versus James Storm and Bobby Roode versus Gunnar with the winners facing each other to determine who's going to go to Bound for Glory. Nope. Just going to have two matches, and whoever has the most points at the end wins. To tell you about this tournament's been going on for months. I have no idea how many points either guy has, any of these guys. I have no idea who has to get how many points to win. I just don't care. And that's a disaster. Who do you think is going to win this tournament? Do you care?
I really don't care. I'll go with James Storm because he's got the least amount of points.
Does he really?
Yes.
How many points does everybody have?
Apparently, Bully Ray's got 49. Bobby Roode's got 42. Gunner's got 42. James Storm has 40. Wait, if that's the case, if Bully Ray wins and beats James Storm, wouldn't he just automatically win anyway?
Yeah, you wouldn't even need a second match.
Like, he doesn't really have to do anything. Although, I know that's right. I take it back, though. They have all those wacky points that made this tournament so unbelievably memorable, like the 10 points for a pinfall victory and 7 with a count out. So, you know, I guess it could come down to Bully Ray losing via points in some sort of wacky fashion. This ranks right slightly, maybe slightly above the Team Challenge series from the AWA in the 80s.
I predict Gunner's not going to win. I mean, really, this is Bound for Glory, but you cannot have Gunner going for your world title. You just can't.
Should be Bobby Roode. I mean, there's no other answer to this if it's for going for the title than other than Bobby Roode. No offense to James Storm, but it really is Bobby Roode. Which makes me think that they won't do it because then they'll have to have some sort of quest on TV or something like that. It'll be something stupid. So you know what? I'm sticking with James Storm.
I think that Bobby Roode is your best choice, obviously, because the winner faces Kurt Angle. So Bobby Roode and Kurt Angle would be a great match. Of course, with Kurt Angle, you're pretty much going to get a great match no matter who he's facing for the title. I mean, if we presume that he's going to be defending the title at Bound for Glory. So, one would think, okay, let's do Kurt Angle versus Bobby Roode. That'd be a great match. Yeah. You also have the dynamic of Bully Ray being the best guy in terms of being a heel. So maybe the idea is you give it to Bully Ray, and then you've got at least a babyface. Wait a second. Kurt Angle's also a heel. Oh, scratch that.
Well,
so much for that idea.
Say Sting wins the belt, at least you would get a brawl with Bully Ray, and you would hopefully he would have a little bit more win that way than a wrestling match because you'd have the excuse of this slobber knocker, which would be wouldn't draw anything on pay-per-view, but it would probably be one of the more fun main events they could have.
That is true. That is true. And the other thing that I guess should be considered, today is the 10-year anniversary of 9/11. And Gunner is, in fact, a war veteran. They've never really pushed that much on TV, but there was an Alex Marvez column that just came out this week on Gunner. His real name is Chad Lale. And he, along with Jesse Neal and Crimson, are war veterans. So on 9/11, they may put the war veteran over and think they can use that as a storyline to build towards Bound for Glory. That's possible.
Well, but have they really? And again, I didn't see it. So did they mention Rosita, who is not on this show?
I don't believe they have mentioned that. And I did have people that were emailing me because She's going to be on a special Monday, Children of 9/11. Her father was actually in the Twin Towers that day and died. In fact, he when the first plane hit, he called her mother and said he was calling to say goodbye. And she is going to be telling that story tomorrow. And I had people texting going, you know, are they going to put her on the pay-per-view and give her the title as a feel-good story? She's not even on the pay-per-view. So I don't think they've ever mentioned that on television. I don't think they've ever mentioned the Gunner thing, the war veteran thing on television. They've never made a big deal out of it. But maybe the feeling was if we mention that, everyone's going to presume he's going to win. So we got to not mention it and then have him win and then tell the story. I don't know. There's different ways they can go. I mean, when I watched Impact Thursday, it was like, boy, did they make Gunner look like an afterthought. You know? Like why is Gunner even here? I mean, that's the way it really came off on television. Because, you know, you had James Storm.
Because Crimson got hurt.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, you know, Gunner still did win enough matches to be in the Final Four. So, I mean, he should deserve to be there. But the way they played it up, it's like, you know, Bully Ray did all the talking. Bobby Roode did a bunch of talking. James Storm did his catchphrase and got over. And they never even gave the mic to Gunner. He just stood there the whole time. And then in the main event, he actually got a win. And then he had that look on his face like he couldn't believe he won, which to me was a preposterous reaction because you won enough matches to get into the Final Four. You should think that, of course, you deserve to win. But anyway, that also had me thinking that he wasn't going to win and that Bully Ray was going to win. But I don't know. I guess I just picked Bobby Roode. After all that, I guess I just picked Bobby Roode.
As good of a choice as any.
So that's bound for, or not, Christmas. Well, that's a Bound for Glory tournament. But No Surrender is a pay-per-view.
This show is so good. We've been talking about it now for about a half hour. We've forgotten the name twice.
Well, let's be fair. There have been four commercial breaks during that period.
Good point.
It's easy to forget. No Surrender tonight. Dave Meltzer live running play-by-play on the front page immediately after the show goes off the air. Dave and I are also going to be up later talking the results of the show, running down all the matches in detail, talking all the news from the weekend, only at WrestlingObserver.com, so check that out. All right, on to some other stories here, and then after the break, since we only have a couple minutes left here, we shall return and talk about the Strikeforce World Grand Prix Tournament. Any other thoughts, by the way, on Impact drawing a one? Does it matter? I mean, obviously, with strong football competition, they weren't going to do all that well. But how was this devastating to do a one? Is this the kind of deal where Spike is just going to say, okay, forget the on-the-road tapings? Or is it going to be a deal where they're going to look at it, they're going to go extenuating circumstances, and they're going to do another on-the-road taping and see where it goes from there?
As long as it's still drawing over a one, and it's still one of the best rated things that they have, yeah, I mean, you know, until they get something else, they're going to be satisfied with it. They may pull back on the tapings after a while because, you know, if you look at it from as they go towards the pay-per-view, they tend to decline in audience, which is mind-boggling, isn't it? You know, they set up the pay-per-views for the TV, people watch that first week, and it seems to decline from there, and now they have the excuse of football. I mean, unless it falls out flat, no, they're going to continue to roll with it. And again, even though it didn't work this time, I am still a fan of actually them going out and taping those shows. I think it makes a big difference when you're watching it, and it's not my money. So they like to waste it as it is. Go ahead and waste more of it. At least get my aesthetics better.
All right. When we come back from the break, we are going to talk the Strikeforce World Grand Prix Tournament. We've got a final. We have got a final. And for those of you that didn't see the show, we're going to tell you what it is coming up after the break. Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Tons of stuff to talk about today. It is time to get into the Strikeforce World Grand Prix Tournament. As noted, we now have a final, and one of the men in the final is one of the men who didn't even start in this tournament. Josh Barnett and Daniel Cormier is your final in the Strikeforce World Grand Prix Tournament. What's funny about this show is I was looking at the lineup, and a lot of times I'll make predictions on these matches and that sort of thing, and sometimes I don't, sometimes I do, but this show in particular, I was looking at the lineup of the main card, and I was like, Okay, I'm so confident on all of my picks. And our buddy Josh Nason, who I do a show with every other week at WrestlingObserver.com, we interview all sorts of people. We had King Mo on a couple of weeks ago and got a lot of big guests coming up. He does a deal on the front page of our website where he polls people and he gets their predictions on these events. And, of course, he gets predictions from you, of course, Mike, and Todd Martin. And I was so confident in my predictions that I went out of my way to have him list my predictions in his article this time around. And suffice to say, I didn't do all that well. I did not do all that well. Some quick results here, and then we'll get your thoughts on the show. Pat Healy beat Maximo Blanco, which I, in fact, had predicted. I did predict he was going to beat him with the inverted surfboard, so I was wrong about that. It was a rear naked choke. That upset me. King Mo knocked out Hodger Gracie. I did not see that coming. Hodger Gracie, I realize his stand-up is not good, but his arms are so long. And my prediction was he would put out his arm, and he would put it on King Mo's head, and he would hold him at bay while King Mo swung wildly. I was wrong. King Mo knocked out Hodger Gracie. I predicted Jacare would beat Luke Rockhold in the Strikeforce middleweight tournament match. I just thought Jacare, way too experienced. Luke Rockhold has beaten a lot of guys, but some of the guys are people nobody'd ever heard of, and his other wins were on Strikeforce Challengers shows. And I thought, meh, big step up in I know that, you know, Rockhold is one of those guys where you just see his name and you think, who is Luke Rockhold? You know, he's beaten some guys on Challengers. He's beaten some guys nobody's ever heard of. What does that mean? He's a guy, though, that, you know, the gym reputation. You know, the people that train with him are like, this guy is the real deal. And as it turns out, I guess he is the real deal. He beat Jacare via decision. A couple of the judges thought it was close. One judge, 50-45, thought it was a one-sided five-round destruction. I shouldn't say destruction, but all five rounds for Rockhold. And in the tournament, I predicted that Antonio Bigfoot Silva would beat Daniel Cormier, and I was wrong. Cormier knocked him out 3:56 in the first round. And the main event, I figured Barnett would beat Karatanov, which that, in fact, did happen, an arm triangle submission, 4:28 of the first round. And, Mike, what are your thoughts on this show?
Well, I went 3-2 in my picks, I believe. From the top, Healy and Blanco, I mean, Blanco was moving his head early. I mean, his boxing was really good. And you looked at Healy, and he was, I mean, much, much bigger. He's much taller anyway with a bigger wingspan. And, you know, he weighed in at 155. I don't know what he weighed coming into this, but he was significantly bigger. But I thought Blanco would be too slick, and he was really, his head movement and the fakes was setting Healy up to get kicked in the head a lot to begin the fight. And, you know, it wasn't until there was a little bit of a stoppage when Blanco used some flipper kicks on that caused a stoppage, busted Healy open, and had a point taken away from him for it, and that kind of turned the tide because Healy looked better as the round kind of went on, and then, you know, surprised him in the second round. So I was really surprised about that one. I did pick King Mo over Hodger Gracie, and it, you know, the whole thing going into this fight was, obviously, the only thing that's at issue with Gracie was, you know, how was his chin? Because he's, you know, obviously he's had tested a little bit, but not to the level of a heavier-handed guy like a King Mo. And from King Mo's side, it's like, you know, his best thing is his wrestling, and he's going to be facing off against a guy who's remarkable on the ground. So, you know, it was a real contrast, and you know, Mo did what he had to do, which was land the big punch, and he did, and just a right hand over a jab, if I remember correctly, that landed, and just boom, that was it. Hodger was out, and very impressive performance by King Mo, and again, it's no surprise, really, and no shame that Hodger got knocked out. It's the one thing he's got to work on. The middleweight title bout was, you know, you look at it beforehand and you go, it's like, geez, you know, it's like having a mandatory number one contender in boxing or something like that, where it's just like, okay, you have to do this fight. And Rockhold, you know, Jacare came out, you know, looking much, much better than Rockhold. You know, as his confidence never waned, during the fight at all, and it really disappointed. Jacare was really disappointing because he never changed up his style at all, and Rockhold kept taking punches to get in there and landing good leg kicks, and Jacare just didn't do it. I mean, one judge had a 50-45, and when they announced the unanimous decision, you saw Rockhold, look kind of upset, thinking, I'm sure that this has got to be going Jacare's way, but Miletic, I really thought Souza won the first two rounds, but Pat Miletic also pretty much had every round going Rockhold's way, so it was, a real surprise there. And with Cormier, obviously I wanted to have a Barnett Overeem final. I think most people did. For a lot of us, it's kind of linked to those old Wacky Pride days, and it's two guys that you can see him facing off, and you can see Dana White looking at the screen, just shaking his head, or announcing on his Twitter that he was going to go somewhere else instead of watching that fight, which would probably be taking place in Texas or another place where UFC, obviously for the issues Barnett has. But Barnett and Cormier to me it could be a incredibly awful, boring, smothering, long wrestling final, but it's also a throwback to the days, almost pro wrestling like, and Josh Barnett obviously, cuts promos, did tonight, cut a wacky promo about eating his flesh, Haritanov's flesh, and basically just messing with the announcer. Barnett is like that old school shooter and obviously is a, was a good amateur wrestler, not like a Cormier or anything like that, but, has learned to hook and shoot. And then you have Cormier, who's the Olympic wrestler, the college guy, the young guy in MMA, who it's going to be a interesting kind of fun contrast that way, but it also has the possibility of being an awful fight. With that said, Cormier and Barnett both landed big, big punches, and that's one thing they can definitely do. So hopefully they throw more blows, because if it ends up being a wrestling match, it's probably not going to be all that exciting of a final. But at least from the shoot versus, young guy, amateur who's just getting into MMA, at least you got a little bit of a storyline there.
I am sad I'm not getting my Daniel Cormier versus Chad Griggs final. I was expecting that to happen.
You love those sideburns.
Just because it's a Strikeforce tournament. It is.
Chad Griggs, the Trevor Murdoch of MMA.
I mean, Josh Barnett in the finals, I guess, isn't much of a surprise. But when you look at let's look at this original tournament. We had Fedor Emelianenko versus Antonio Silva, Alistair Overeem versus Fabricio Werdum, Andrei Arlovsky versus Sergei Karatanov, Josh Barnett versus Brett Rogers, and here we are in the finals, Josh Barnett versus Daniel Cormier. It's kind of amazing, really. Fedor, of course, knocked out. It's into him. Knocked out of the tournament by Silva. And then we had the horrible Overeem-Werdum fight. And then Overeem went on his merry way. And now he's back in UFC. And, of course, the Arlovsky-Karatanov fight. Karatanov won, and Josh Barnett beat Brett Rogers. Thank God, given Brett Rogers' legal issues. And here we are in the finals, and it's just kind of fascinating. So there you go, Josh Barnett and Daniel Cormier in the final. And I didn't get a chance to see the undercard, but I heard some pretty damn good fights on it. What did you think?
I didn't get a chance to see the undercard either.
All right, well, so much for that. Let's talk about Overeem here. As noted, he beat Werdum in his first round match, and he should have been going on to face Bigfoot Silva, but his camp announced, he announced that he was not going to be ready by September 10th. His toe was hurt, and also his rib. But he was not going to be ready. He wanted to wait until at least October. He wanted a full training camp. They said, no, you either take it or leave it. And so he left. And, camp, Golden Glory, drew a hard bargain till they realized there's nowhere else this guy's going to go to make the kind of money he's going to make with Zuffa. So they called Dana White, and Dana and Golden Glory made a deal, and Overeem is back, and Overeem is now fighting in the Ultimate Fighting Championship. He is going to be headlining New Year's Eve against Brock Lesnar in Brock Lesnar's return. And Mike, what do you think of this battle of the behemoth?
I think it's a hell of a way to start the year for the UFC. I mean, I think the news broke on Monday when we were doing a figure four daily, and it's, you know, I think it could be a long night for Overeem. I mean, you know, Brock, there's the biggest things that Brock knows he had to work on was, you know, taking a punch and his stamina. And it's not like Overeem is known for his grand stamina, so all he's got to do is outlast him and not be caught or chopped down with leg kicks and have a punch landed on him by Overeem. But I really, again, it just all depending on what condition Brock Lesnar's in, and you will have to just go off faith that he's going to be not back to the old Brock Lesnar, but at least a healthy Brock Lesnar, and if that's the case, and he's got no mental ring rust as well, I think it could be a long night for Overeem.
December 30th is an interesting date. We're going to talk about this a little bit more when we come back from the break. I am a strong proponent of running New Year's Eve, and I'll tell you why. The issue here, for those wondering just very quickly, is that they booked the December 30th date a long time ago, so it's too late to change it. But should they have run New Year's Eve? We'll talk about that when we come back from the break. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. For the latest news and information in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, you can always head to WrestlingObserver.com. Daily news updates. We got radio shows, pay-per-view coverage, the Observer newsletter, Figure Four Weekly. There's so much stuff up there, it's pretty much impossible to get into here on this program. We've only got 2 hours. What I want you to do is I want you to go to WrestlingObserver.com. I want you to scroll down the right-hand side of the page. I want you to download the 3 free radio shows that are waiting there for you right now. In fact, I think there's 4, actually. Let me go up to my own website right here and tell you what you can get absolutely for free. There's nothing to pay. There's no goofy pop-ups, nothing like that. There you go, 4 of them. We got a Wrestling Observer Radio. We've got last week's Observer Live. We've got a Brian and Vinny Show. And we've got a Figure Four Daily with Matt Mitrione, meathead of UFC fame. They're all up there right now, and they're free. Download them. Listen to them. Put them on your iPod. Commute tomorrow. You know, work, gym, wherever you listen to your audio. Check those out. If you like them, those 4 right there, I did 4 radio shows in one day on Thursday. We do 15 to 20 radio shows every single week. You will never be without audio. Because even if you listen to all the audio that we do every single week and you run out of it, jump into our archives. Every show that we have ever done since June of 2005 is available in the archives right now. There are thousands of hours of audio for you to go through and listen to. We have people that have started in 2005 and tried to listen to every show. Now, granted, these people are crazy, but these people have done this. So it's only $10.99 a month. That's all you pay per month. You not only get all of the new shows, you not only get all of the newsletters, Wrestling Observer, Figure Four Weekly, the brand new issues, and our back issues in the archive. You not only get all that, plus all of the members-only articles on the front page, but you get every single show we've ever done. So basically, if you pay $10.99 right now, you essentially, for $10.99, get everything we have done for the past 6-7 years. It's actually kind of robbery, but go up and do it. If you like it, you can get a long-term subscription. You can keep paying. If you don't like it, just stop paying. There's no, the recurring is optional. You can just pay one time, $10.99, check it out. If you like it, just keep subscribing. You won't regret it. If you like this show, if you like Observer Live, you will love your subscription. That is a guarantee. And if you don't, email me and we shall make it right. All right. We are here talking all of the news in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. December 30th is the Brock Lesnar-Alistair Overeem match. I think they should run New Year's Eve. Every New Year's Eve, I end up at a party somewhere. And a lot of my friends, big dudes, you know, there's alcohol. I obviously don't drink it, but there's alcohol available. And, you know, these guys want something to do. And you say, hey, guess what? Tonight, New Year's Eve, let's all get some drinks, let's get some pizza, and there's a UFC pay-per-view with 2 behemoths facing each other. And everybody would buy. You know, December 30th, to me, it's like, okay, you know, we got parties Saturday night for New Year's Eve. Can I really get a whole bunch of people over an extra day on Friday night as well for this show? I don't know. Maybe I can. But two nights in a row is a lot to ask for people, and if people are going to go out for a party, they're probably going to choose New Year's Eve over a UFC pay-per-view. Maybe they won't. I don't know. But to me, New Year's Eve is the best night possible for a big UFC pay-per-view event every year.
I think so, too. I really do. It's not like in Japan where, you know, the established shows do so great. I mean, I know Dick Clark is the Carson Daly, whoever does it now, is there's still an extension, and it does get good ratings and stuff like that. But, I mean, there are shows now that have popped up all over the place that are exactly the same. I think if you had something different, you know, it would be big, and it, you know, not like I know Howard Stern's had a pay-per-view. There's been things that have happened on, you know, New Year's Eve before, but I think that the time would actually be perfect to do something like that. And again, when that show's on, by the time it's over, you would still have time to, you know, watch the ball drop and do all that sorts of stuff. So, I mean, I would have run it on New Year's Eve. I think the time is right actually now for that to happen in America, or at least try it. I mean, look at what ESPN gets with their X Games sort of thing, and there's always a Evel Knievel type daredevil stunt that takes place. I know that's drawing away a lot of viewers, and, you know, it proves that there's other people out there that are in the UFC's demo who aren't paying attention to those, you know, the bands and the whatever it is, Times Square drops and things like that. They don't care about that sort of stuff. They want to watch something else. Now would have been a good time.
Got some other big fights that we should probably talk about here, including actually not only big matches coming up in mixed martial arts, but some big matches coming up in professional wrestling, not the least of which is Survivor Series. Listen, a couple of days ago, there was a commercial that aired for Survivor Series featuring The Rock. And the commercial led some people to believe that Rock was wrestling on the show. And I thought, well, they cannot possibly be that stupid. You know, John Cena versus Rock is going to be huge at WrestleMania. As long as that's The Rock's first match back, it's going to be huge either way. But doing a match at Survivor Series is just, you're watering it down. You know, it doesn't make sense to me. Well, I'm not saying it's guaranteed, but they are strongly pressuring Rock to work on that night. And maybe pressuring isn't the right word, but they want Rock wrestling at Survivor Series. And they're very strongly pushing it. They push it so hard that the show is already sold out. What are your thoughts on Rock, his first match back, being at Survivor Series as opposed to WrestleMania?
I don't really understand it. I mean, I could understand his first match back being the Survivor Series, as he somehow is number 30. And I take that back, because his match is already guaranteed, so it wouldn't make any sense anyway. No, I don't get it. And it's really short-sighted. Again, they are, it's, I don't know. It doesn't make any sense to me. It would make the whole thing with Cena and Rock be even less special. And again, if this happens to be a older generation versus new generation thing where we get Punk Austin and Undertaker and somebody, and you have all of these matches at WrestleMania, I mean, it would dampen, you know, it'd soften the blow a little bit if you do have The Rock come back and wrestle before that. But it just doesn't make any sense. There's no need to do it. Why do it? He can appear. He can pop up like a Muppet. There's something that can happen on there where it leads into Monday night. I mean, I'd be fine with that. You know, him making an appearance, that would be good. You know, but for him to actually wrestle, it just doesn't make any sense.
Now, if he's going to wrestle, who does he wrestle, is my question. Zack Ryder?
You know, yeah, I mean, he did wonders with Hurricane Helms there. You know, so yeah, have him do wacky comedy or something like that. I don't know.
I mean, how big a match should it be? Because obviously you want the big match, which obviously John Cena is going to be the big match, but you want that at WrestleMania. Do you want a big match at Survivor Series as well? Or do you want just you just want him wrestling and beating someone quickly with his move?
You know, this would be, if they were actually still into doing 5-on-5s, like him getting announced or something like that, and he ends up getting a sneaky, you know, crappy pin on Cena, you know, a douchey pin on Cena, and then he can disappear into the abyss and taunt Cena and say he beat him and stuff like that. You know, I guess you could do that, but I don't think they have any plans on doing a five-on-five or anything. So, I mean, I would, for me, if he was going to come back and do it, I would have him do, and that's something, I don't know, something to try to set up him and Cena, but just something where it doesn't take away the effect. I don't know what it could actually be, because, again, I wouldn't have him do anything at all, so I hadn't thought about it, but I don't know. It would just be something to, you know, be continue on being a heater for his match with Cena.
Now, on Monday, they announced that Kevin Nash was fired, and he's not. Just put it that way. But do you presume that it's just a given now that in the CM Punk Triple H no disqualification match at the upcoming pay-per-view that Nash is just going to run in?
All right. Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me at all, especially with the way that they're trying to. I would say no, and maybe it would just go away or something like that. But it, the way they keep, you know, trying to push it is like he's really fired. You know, obviously they're doing that for a reason. And people, I guess people really did bite on it, or some people legitimately did bite on it. So, you know, I guess in some ways it works. So, you know, taking that into account, yeah, I would figure he's probably going to make some sort of appearance or attack.
I actually think that he's not. And I just
good.
Actually, this just entered my mind. Nash, on top of all of the other issues that came up with Nash, the reasons that they changed the match from Punk versus Nash to Punk versus Hunter, he's also doing a movie, and he's going to be unavailable for a little while. So I would bet that the way that they've been booking lately, I think that the supposed firing of Kevin Nash, the announcement is going to be a no DQ match. I think that they are expecting everybody to presume that he's going to run in during that match, and then he's not, and then he's going to run in during the next pay-per-view match. Don't forget, they've got two pay-per-views in October, 2 weeks apart. So my guess would be that whoever wins at this show. Maybe Punk beats him. And then you've got the first October pay-per-view, and that's the show where Nash runs in, and you shoot your big angle there, and you hope that the angle is hot enough that you can sell a second pay-per-view with all three guys 2 weeks later. That's kind of my impression of where they might be going.
I guess that would make sense, too. That would be, what, Night of Champions into Hell in a Cell, then that leads into Survivor Series? I guess that would be... That would be good. And again, I would rather not see Nash involved at all. So that scenario would work out just fine for me.
Actually, Night of the Champions into... what's the other one in October? Now I got to do a search right here. Night of Champions is followed by Hell in a Cell. And then 2 weeks after Hell in a Cell... What is 2 weeks after Hell in a Cell? I don't even know.
It would be, I would assume, Survivor Series in November.
No, there's two of them in October. Vengeance.
Vengeance. Oh, Jesus.
We've got Night of Champions, Hell in a Cell, and Vengeance before we get to Survivor Series.
It just makes it even more amazing in the way that they have pushed through so fast and just plowed through stuff, you know, and not take into account some other things where it's like, you know, this is our plan, we're sticking to it, boom, 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 when, again, this time could have been used. I mean, we could still be having Punk and Cena and Del Rio and guys up in the air in the mix, you know, challenging each other. I mean, it just shows you how fast they went with all this stuff when you just see all these pay-per-views still remaining that you're expecting people to, or at least wanting people to spend $40 on.
Yep, between, there's going to be three pay-per-views in a one-month period, essentially. We've got September 18th, October 2nd, and October 23rd.
That's insane.
a lot of shows. And it's not just that, everybody. There's I mean, from now until the end of the year, if you're a fan of pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, it's your lucky year, because there's something nearly every single weekend, and there's going to be a lot of weekends with way more than one thing. This is a great example this weekend. I mean, if you count the Dragon Gate show, you've got two Dragon Gate internet pay-per-views, TNA and Strikeforce. And
Bellator.
And Bellator. Yeah, the list just goes on and on. Very quickly, before the end of the segment, what are your thoughts on Kung Lee returning for a fight with Belfort?
I think that's awesome. I mean, perfect fight for San Jose, you know, great kind of a old-school feel sort of fight, and Kung Lee I liked a lot anyway, so no problems there.
We're going to be back in just a second with our final segment here on the show. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here for the final segment on the show. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, co-host of the Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare. Always a fun time. I know that, Mike, you talk about a lot of different things on the show. Japan, hockey, independent pro wrestling, WWE, the whole nine yards. And also, you noted on our show Monday, a little bit of politics, which brings us to Linda McMahon. It appears she's running again.
And why not? I mean, you build up a war chest in the way that she did. I mean, there's still she can still run on some of the same twinges of voters that were around the last time. And hopefully she's learned from some of her mistakes from the last time around. So I'm not surprised. I mean, this is something that, you know, she did pretty well under the circumstances. You know, when she first announced, you know, a lot of people just kind of scoffed. And obviously she was in it till, you know, damn near the very end. It was only a couple weeks where it really looked like, okay, she was going to be too far out, but people still had their eyes nationally on that race on Election Day. And again, it's something that family is striving for and you know, has got aspirations for. So if it doesn't happen this time, or if she's blown out of the water, then it's probably not going to happen again. But if she's dangerously close, and even closer than she was the last time, you know, I could see this happening again if she doesn't win.
And that is it for this week, everybody. Don't forget, we are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 94, XM Radio, Channel 208. If you're listening to the show and it happens to be preempted for some sort of sporting event, I hear there's a new season of something starting right now, you can always check out the show at WrestlingObserver.com. It streams live worldwide on the front page every single week, as well as the Sports Byline USA Network. And usually in the evenings, the archived edition of the show ends up on the front page of the website as well. That is WrestlingObserver.com. In a moment, Dave Meltzer live running play-by-play of the TNA pay-per-view. Dave and I are going to be up later on tonight running down all of the results from the show. Of course, I want to thank everybody at Sports Byline, Sirius, XM, Mike, of course, and thank all of you for listening. Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.